listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
And I would be Paul Strolley this week, but I'm not. I'm Michael Sterling.
You're Michael Sterling this week, which you wear very well.
Thank you.
And you're looking very very cash for, you're normally far more pressed.
Thank you.
Yeah. You pull it off. That's what I'm saying. You pull it off. I can't pull it off. I wear that and then, you know, I'm immediately arrested.
Really?
Because my Italian because my Italian lineage is such that if I wear like tracksuit pants or anything, I look like a gangster. I'm a Sopranos extra.
Oh,
can't pull it off.
Okay.
Pull it off. I can't.
I'd have to see that and be my own judge. But you see, I usually come in dressed like Roger Bart. Right?
Yes, who's dressed very nice for us today. But both of our guests are very, very attractive. It's a collectively very attractive group today.
It is indeed.
But before we tell them how beautiful they are, we'll start with paying the bills. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our weekly live arts calendar. And, Paul, our first guest, by the way, we just want to let people know they're here.
Let them know they're here, yes.
Starred in the Broadway productions of the Tony Award-winning Mel Brooks musicals The Producers, originating the role of Carmen Ghia and subsequently the role of Leo Bloom.
An excellent piece, Producers.
Excellent piece. And as Dr. Frederick Frankenstein in Young Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
Okay, receiving Tony and Drama Desk Award nominations. Currently on stage at the Pasadena Playhouse in Art. Please welcome Roger Bart.
Wow.
Yes, sir, even on radio.
I am overwhelmed.
He's bathing in it.
Wow.
Also joining us in studio, she starred on Broadway as Belle in Disney's Beauty and the Beast and originated the national tour, as well as being in both original Broadway casts of Sunset Boulevard and Marie Christine, soon to appear in The Sound of Music at the historic Plummer Auditorium in Fullerton, California. Please welcome the lovely and talented Kim Huber.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Her applause was a little louder than mine. And
no, maybe right. you just hear it differently,
no, you
Rush.
Know what?
You just hear it differently.
Maybe I do. Turn up my headset a little bit.
So, What headset? What are you talking about? they're on salary, these people.
Yes, that's right.
They're just here to cheer.
So, listen, Paul, I know it's been a crazy week for both of us, but yours in particular, because your fabulous, wonderful mother, who I adore,
My mother came in town. Yes. My mother was there.
Yeah.
She was there.
You're now listening to us, Mom.
My mother was there. Yeah. She enjoyed her time. She always does. I'm such a good host. She goes. But it's like, I love her dearly, but she is, without a doubt, the most persnickety eater. Have we ever talked about her dining habits?
Well, no, I don't think we have,
She is just like, and I don't mind people being persnickety with their food. It's just she's not consistent, and that's what drives me crazy. Mom, why don't you have the scampi? Have the shrimp scampi. Paul, you know, I don't do hot shrimp. I do cold shrimp if it's cooked. Cold and cooked. Remember that. Cold, like if it's the shrimp cocktail, fine, I'll do that. Cold and cooked. But scampi, hot shrimp, can't do it. Okay, well, we don't have to do Italian, Mom. We can do Chinese. Okay, great. I'll have shrimp fried rice. No, you can't, because you just lied to me, because you said you can't have hot shrimp, and now you can. I mean, it's just every single thing. She told me once through a mouthful of bread how much she hated bread. Spitting bread on me, she told me. I'm not a bread person. I'm like, you have a mouthful of rye bread now. Love her dearly, but she's just sort of as, you know, she doesn't listen to the show, so there's no risk of offending her. She won't do the interweb.
No.
Just throws her. But but it was nice to see her, but as I said, at the end of the week, a little stressful, and, you know, by the end of the week, the Stoli bottle had a handle.
So that was one of those weeks.
Yeah, but it was nice to actually. She was here with my brother because his best friend from high school is now the commander. Apparently, there's this huge military installation up in China Lake, the largest in the country, a naval a naval base, 1.6 million acres. And a friend of my brother's from high school was just named the commander of it. So that's what they were there for. They're for the swearing-in ceremony.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice you had them all out.
Yeah, it was nice to see them.
He really has a fine relationship with his mother.
They're lovely people. They're lovely people. And your week, how was that?
It was good. You know, and I will talk about it later, but we need to accommodate Roger here and get him on with us.
Yes.
And off to an important appointment. And Paul, do you want to?
Well, let me give him the intro. He is so due. In addition to what Michael mentioned earlier, a few things with this Mel Brooks guy. Our first guest's other Broadway credits include The Frogs with Nathan Lane at Lincoln Center, Snoopy in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, for which he was a Tony and Drama Desk Award winner, Triumph of Love, King David, Big River, and far too much TV and film work to list here. So, Roger, please stop waving the resume in my face. We'll get to that.
Oh, that's me.
I was lucky enough to catch his performance last night in Art at the Pasadena Playhouse, and we are delighted to welcome Mr. Roger Bart.
Oh, my goodness. They obviously can follow hand signals.
They just turn on you sometimes. They're so fickle.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
I tell you.
So
how are
they
you?
They must have had something in their throat. I'm good.
Coffee.
It's great to be here.
Are you enjoying? Or are you just opened?
We
there was
opened.
A press opening last
I'm having
week.
A great time so far. Yep. The Pasadena Playhouse is a beautiful, beautiful theater.
It is a beautiful venue.
For people who have not been to it, I would highly recommend it. It's a wonderful town, too. You know, I've only been here about a year and a half. I've been in and out of Los Angeles for many years, but really did not get to know Pasadena until recently, and it's a great little community.
No, it is, and you walk in there, and that whole entranceway, and of course they had it done up beautifully last night, but it was really, you know, I had never been there before, believe it or not.
Are you serious?
I'd never been to the Pasadena Playhouse. I meant to see that. The Ed Asner thing, the FDR thing, which I was all set to go and then I couldn't go. But it's not just the venue, it's the show. I mean, just the set is astounding. The set is really beautiful. It's just stunning. It's like a piece of art in and of itself. It's just a great. But I'm fascinated by this show because it's three guys on stage talking. And how that could be so visually interesting, as well as just hearing them talk, the way that it's staged, it's quite a challenge to block a show with three people talking because the sight lines become a real bear. What was that like for you guys during the blocking process? I mean,
well, there was a lot of, you know, as anybody can imagine, we only have so many places we can sit, lean,
yeah.
or stand
right.
and look ponderously out the window. So there was a finite amount of choices there. And with, three little animals in a cage, you know, we basically over about a three-week period. Sort of found, where it sort of felt compelling to stand, and if anybody out there who knows what it's like to stage something, it has something to do with variety and logic. You know, when you're trying to work stuff out, and we've made lots of mistakes and made lots of alterations and that's that. Yeah.
The what I really enjoyed about it was the fact that there were times where you're just looking at someone's back as you would be if you were just peering into a room and following a conversation, and then but sometimes
we would refer to that in Actors Equity as backting.
Backting.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a term.
Yeah, there is. Oh,
there
yeah.
is.
No, and you actually get slightly paid more for that.
Oh, really?
In certain cases.
Well,
yeah,
what's is that going to be affected by the merger?
Is
that
yes.
gonna be?
Yeah.
But sometimes the comedic reveal was better because of that, because the setup would be delivered and you wouldn't see the person's face, and then you'd get like this slowly I turn thing, which I thought was very cool for some of the payoffs. Have you worked with either of those actors before?
No, fans of both and never have, but they're delightful and just great people, and one always hopes in a situation where a play that is so much about friendship that you don't arrive in the first day and realize that this is going to be a stretch for you since you can't stand either of them. But in this case, it was actually made quite easy because they're delightful, smart, and good people.
No, it was truly enjoyable. I really enjoyed the...
Well, you know what I wanted to ask? Because I'm a big fan of Yasmina Reza and her work and God of Carnage and all these other wonderful things that she's written. So the storyline... I'm sure our listeners would love to know more about that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's about a piece of art, and you're three best friends.
That's right,
questioning taste.
That's correct. And you know, basically, it is about three great, very close, long-time friends, and one of them who has been always passionate about art and is starting to hang around with a group of people who sort of are more art appreciators than the other two, decides one day to spend an enormous amount of money on a painting. The painting happens to be just white. And my other friend, played by Bradley Whitford in this, has a great deal of difficulty accepting that his friend Serge, played by Michael O'Keefe, spent so much money on something that was basically white. And so we spend much of that evening trying to come to terms with each other, it's, if you saw God of Carnage, you know, you can see how she sometimes her plays sort of digress into something sort of insane.
Mm-hmm.
And miraculously, it's a very, very funny show, I think. But apparently, the playwright, one of the stories I'd heard about in the New York production was she did not write this apparently as a comedy, so she was really, really upset with the U.S.
Really?
Production in '98 because it was getting laughs. And I will never know. I don't know her, but whether or not that was a language thing, and she just didn't think that she felt like why are they laughing here or there?
Oh, that's fascinating.
But you know, we when we do the play, you know, it sounds like it's this because it's called Or Art. You know, a lot of people have the perception as this sort of lofty,
elitist,
you know, exactly.
Yeah.
And really, it's just about three great friends, and it has many, many laughs. So it's kind of funny to think how, you know, I actually some days spent the afternoon rehearsing it where I tried not to have it be funny, just to in the you know, off chance that she'll show up one Saturday matinee. You know, I don't want to scare her, but we sort of can't help ourselves, and the play can't help itself.
Well, and also the other thing too is that about 5 minutes into the play, you realize it's not about art at all. It's about relationships and friendships and what happens over time in every friendship. That's what I found myself thinking about during it. Was I found myself thinking about college friends that I have and how, you know, you can't help but, especially if you're a male who is about the same age, to sort of impose those roles. Okay, it's like, okay, that's me, and Kevin,
that's
and
right.
That's Ted. And I always end up being the elitist fop who pays too much for art. So
well, you know, it's so funny in this play, too, because it feels a little bit like, it's almost like an intervention of sorts. You know,
yeah.
It's as if one of us either... suddenly just started going to EST meetings, you know, and
oh,
the other two just say, I can't be your friend if you're talking to your EST friends. And so we have an intervention of sorts, and I'm kind of the person who just wants everybody to be happy, and I've been in therapy for a long time, and ultimately, you know, bring them together.
How long is the monologue?
I don't know. I never timed it, you know.
No, I meant on the page.
It's, can we just say very? It's very long.
Roger's got a monologue on one of his entrances that just burns. He burns it down. It's beautifully executed.
Thank you.
It's just like one of those things that you just always, as an actor watching, you're always like, oh, okay, how much of a bear was that? really enjoyable.
I did a thing called Fully Committed years ago. Do you know that play?
Oh, yeah.
And that was, you know, that's like 34 characters, and I had 109 pages to memorize in something like 11 days, and it was so Herculean that I thought, well, I'll do it. I'll get through it. But it does – this one panics me a bit every night because it is – you have to go very quickly.
Yeah, that's just it. You can't – and the cadence is such that it has to be there for
you.
Yeah,
it's an insane digression.
There was a person who we didn't talk to him here, but I remember an interview with one of the people. I think it was the guy who created Fully Committed or the first person to perform.
Mark Sedlock.
Yeah. And he said that there were times when he first did it that he would just pick up the phone and not know who was there.
Yes, I did that too.
And then he
actually passed it on to me. He said, whatever you do, just but you don't know actually, you forget your lines and somebody's calling, just pick up the phone and say, could you please hold? And then you just sort of look down on, there was a little cheat thing on the table who called when, but it was a bear. That thing was crazy.
Oh, man. I did a one-person show, and when I would go up, I gave the booth operator a character name, and I would just be, what were we talking about? Remember that time?
Yeah.
And you just, you'd throw the
line. You know the worst
out,
thing about about them, though, they are the worst cast parties I've ever been to.
Oh, they're boring. I tell you, boring as hell.
I mean, talk about monologues, you know. It's like me and like one of those little airplane bottles of vodka. It's so sad, you know.
So was it a three-week rehearsal period for this?
For Art?
Yeah.
I guess 3.5 maybe.
Yeah.
It is just the three of us. It's kind of very intense. You know, you just sort of, you know, I'm so used to doing big musicals where I'll spend half the day off or in the other room reading or napping. But this is one that was full on all the time. So it was about three weeks. And a lot of, you know, as I say, a lot of searching and peeling away. It's a very complicated play.
Yeah, no, it was. You should see it, Michael.
Oh,
and
I'm going
Kim,
to
you
see
as well.
I am.
Really try to catch it. I don't know if you can with your rehearsal schedule the way it
when
is.
When does it close?
It closes. It runs through the 19th of February.
There you go.
Ooh, but do you do Wednesdays? Do you do Wednesdays or
no mats?
Yes, Michael. Speaking of that, would you give the stats on
absolutely
how people can attend?
Happy to do it. Art will play at the Pasadena Playhouse, ladies and gentlemen. It's already in progress, of course. It's just opened through February 19th. And the tickets are certainly available in many sorts of ways. You can call the box office directly. It's a 24-hour hotline, and that is 626-356-7529. Or you can visit the box office in person, of course, or online. Pasadena Playhouse.org.
PasadenaPlayhouse.org.
That's correct.
We'll be doing a special nude performance to raise money for my daughter's gymnastics, which is exciting.
That should be a nice piece.
At a later date, I'll email you the date.
Why nude? Just because it's art?
I said nude.
Yeah, no, I know. Oh. I was just curious. Is it because it's art? Is that why it's going to be?
Yeah, well, that day it'll be just me, and we'll call it Bart instead.
A nice piece.
The other guys don't know about it yet.
A solo nude show is something I would have a lot of trouble with.
It was very, very, very weird. I wouldn't enjoy the piece.
Would you? Can you tell that if we don't say who told you about it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, a few years ago I was at a party, and I had done Carmen Ghia for a long time. Still have not received that car from Mel Brooks, though. I thought they promised me, but. I had done the show for a while, and I left the show, and I was going to go back and take over Matthew Broderick's role, and I was at a party, and there was a wonderful playwright there who writes a very, very smart plays. And I said, hey, you should, I don't know if you've seen the producers, but you should come check me out if you'd like. I'm going to be taking over Matthew's part. And he said, oh, I don't think so. I didn't really care for the piece. And I said, well, it's not a piece, so yeah, maybe you don't have to come again. It's a show. It's a big show.
This is the very definition of big show.
Yeah, yes. Big silly show.
Yes, and not piece.
Not a piece.
Hysterical. Don't you love that?
Yeah. Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
You're from New York, you said, and here only a year and a half or so?
A year and a half, but been in and out of here doing fun television.
Do you miss New York, though?
I do, yeah.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. What are the redeeming qualities of Los Angeles, or do you have any?
Oh, there are so many.
Yeah.
I mean
aside from the weather.
Obvious, the weather is such a boring answer. But, you know,
Shrimp scampi is excellent
here. Scampi!
Scampi is excellent.
It's not like a good New England slice of bluefish.
No, it's... Oh, bluefish!
No.
Don't get me started with her bluefish.
You can't find some mozzarella at all. You know, I like driving. I don't know. You know, I grew up in New Jersey, so I've been trained by the very best. Yeah. And so I love driving. I love listening to the radio and driving, and that's something you don't get a lot in New York. I like, you know, as crazy as it is, I like show business out in Los Angeles a lot too, because it's huge. I mean, the only thing sometimes that I feel, and I've gotten better at it over the years, and I'm sure you can relate to this too, is I've learned to be able to find what is not show business in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Before I was here and I felt like it's too much. I can't deal with all showbiz all the time.
Right.
But now I have enough friends and enough of a life here that I can really get away from it.
That respite.
Know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is in a place this big, you'd be surprised that it would be.
And years ago, you know, I used to be very intimidated by how beautiful everyone is. But I just find as I'm getting older, I get more beautiful. And so that doesn't really affect me the same way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Well, you know, and I'm going to say
because
this.
As I get older, you do get more beautiful.
Right, right. You know I'm joking out there. Okay.
We've got to let our guest go off to his appointment, Paul, but I did want to repeat this opportunity of how to get tickets to his performance in Art through February 19th at the Pasadena Playhouse. You can call for tickets at 626-356-7529 or online at pasadenaplayhouse.org.
Wonderful.
Unless
show.
You want to attend and the nude one.
The nude one, which we'll
is hotbart.com.
Right.
Wow.
But wonderful, yeah. Wonderful show. Michael O'Keefe, Bradley Whitford, myself, killer. Directed by
absolutely.
The great David Lee.
Yes.
So it is a terrific looking and beautiful and funny show. And it only runs about 80 minutes.
Yeah, that's no, nice. It flies. You guys are so tight. The musicality is such that it just flies.
And one of our listeners, Paul, is going to have a chance to go see the show.
Which one?
Courtesy of the Pasadena Playhouse. We don't know.
Get out your ticket numbers. Yes. Ready?
Number 7.
Two,
coming
that's
in
right.
Seven.
Send an email requesting tickets to stateoftheartsla@gmail.com. That's
right.
stateoftheartsla@gmail.com. Send it right away, because if you are 7th, you will be the recipient of the tickets. Be sure
that's
to include
correct.
Your contact information in there so we can call you back and get you those seats.
Indeed, Roger.
Two tickets, right?
That's it.
Oh,
two
great.
Tickets, one pair. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You do
thank
the next
you.
Part of the interview, because I'm going to submit an email because I want to.
You want to go back
and see it again? Yes.
Wait, just enough time, though.
Yeah, just enough time. Yeah.
Right.
Roger, well, guess
thank
who counts
you so
email.
Much.
It's such a great pleasure meeting you guys and chatting about the theater. And thank you for supporting the
absolutely.
Arts here
thank
in Los
thank you so
Angeles.
Much. Yeah. We love the Playhouse. You know where you're going, so we're gonna
I'm going to
slip out of the studio.
Him.
Oh, you're going to take it out?
I'm going to escort him out, Michael, because I know that you have something to talk about, what we normally do during our arts calendar. And in anticipation of that, I will set the ball in your lap, and you can chat about this thing. But I will see Roger out in the process.
Indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, as Mr. Bart walks out of the studio with Mr. Strolley and leaves the beautiful Kim Huber and I in studio...
Yeah.
Kim, I've been out and about, and I've been seeing some theater, and I just wanted to pay some just due to a couple of the things that I saw this past week. And It's a Wonderful Life is something that I saw. Have you ever seen a production of that?
And not the play. I mean, I know the film
the movie.
Really
sure,
well,
sure, sure. Now, this is a production that just closed, actually, at the Glendale Center Theater, this beautiful theater out in Glendale. It's 400 seats in the round. And my gosh, the caliber of their work is really quite astounding. And this was a production that I felt like I was watching the movie. It was done so beautifully and so carefully from the director's point of view, who is, her name is Deidre Celeste Miranda, and producers, of course, Tim and Brenda Dietlein, who have had that theater for years, and it's a family-owned business, but man, they know how to do it right out there. And the production was starring somebody that I found incredibly fascinating by the name of Jordan Monsell. And he is an actor who has taken this part and, I mean, easily earned his star as George Bailey. And, you know, with that all everyday geez Louise, aw shucks kind of likability of Jimmy Stewart. He wasn't trying to do an impersonation of him. He was just in that kind of vein, that spirit of that role. And there were so many other fine performances, Ashley Sullivan portraying Mary Bailey in the show, that just, as I said, you were out of the room, I said to Kim, it was like watching the film.
Yeah,
come to life on the stage.
Have you seen anything at Glendale Center Theater?
I have not been able to, no.
It is a full, it's a in the round space, and the intimacy born of that. When I saw 1776 there, I felt that way. To have the backdrop of what you're watching be other people that are digging what they're watching, it's just that it's so familial there, too. You feel like you're, you know, that everyone knows everyone else, and it's just a wonderfully warm venue. I love that.
You're absolutely right. And
so, you know, you could see It's a Wonderful Life working perfectly in that climate.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was really heaven. And the lighting and the costumes, and, you know, because in the round, you're very limited as to what you can do set-wise, but it was very... stark in a very interesting way. And other notable performances I might add, Danny Michaels for his heavenly portrayal of Clarence, and Patty Ferguson's take on Ma Bailey, and Tommy Kearney's tasty choice with the characterization of Sam Wainwright, and so many other people that I could mention here, too many actually to mention, but I must do a shout out to Angela Wood, who did an amazing, beautiful job with the period costumes. And if you haven't been to the Glendale Center Theater, check it out. It's very simple, and it is incredibly affordable.
It is.
That is the nicest ticket in town.
It's the best deal in town.
Yeah.
I don't know how they make... I mean, what is the ticket price?
Top ticket on a musical is $28.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Just nuts.
$28. Wow. Yeah. But they are packed all the time. Full audiences, full houses, every performance. It's, you know,
plus there's those two great restaurants right in the along
Jack's,
the back Jack's
and also Damon's.
Damon's, yes. Right there, park once, walk right there, have a nice dinner.
Schubert Alley, as they, or Glendale Alley, as they call it. Right,
well, you made
the
an interesting point too, Michael, just to comment on it. The fact that you said the sets and things are very limited because it's in the round, but I think that the nice byproduct of that is that you get the performances have so much more focus to them.
Right.
And it, with something like this that so many people are familiar with the film, you'd never be able to compete with the backdrop of a film anyway. So right. It's kind of nice that the focus is on the actor's work rather than the world
and,
of the
you know, and it's made up, as I said, with costumes. The lighting in this production, spectacular. The sound was spectacular, actually. And some things from the film were actually taken out, that scenes that were in the film that were not in the play were kind of slipped into this production, and it was really, really, really nice. So to check their season out, simply go to GlendaleCenterTheater.com, and that is center and theater spelled R-E at the end of those two words, or you can call them at 818-244-8481. But next up is Fiddler on the Roof at the Glendale Center Theater, February 9th through the 24th of March.
And just as a reminder with what Michael said, because everyone gets the theater, but they don't get the center. Glendale Center, R-E in center and R-E in theater. GlendaleCenterTheater.com.
Exactly. And we do have to do a shout-out for our dear friends over at the Pantages Theater, who are getting ready to bring into Los Angeles Billy Elliot. Did you see it in New York?
I never got to see it yet, and my daughter is 11, and I'm starting to get to take her to a lot of different things in the theater, so I'm glad to know that that's coming. I'm glad to take her.
Yeah, and the Pantages, like they're always creative over there at the Pantages. They have declared Thursday, February 2nd, as Tutu Day. And what that means is there is a tutu, there's kind of tutu everything here. There's a tutu photo contest that is currently on Facebook, on their space on Facebook, which is facebook.com/PantagiousHollywood. And fans are invited to upload photos of themselves in a tutu. This is all for getting tickets. I looked at it today before I came, and there's some fabulous pictures of people in tutus.
That would be a 4-4.
Exactly. Wear a tutu, get free tickets Thursday morning. Again, February 2nd, Pantages will give away 22 pairs of tickets by showing up at the Pantages Theater right after the box office opens at 10 a.m. And a tutu day two for one tickets. And
you did that very well.
Thank you.
I couldn't do that, but I still drink.
I know the handle with them.
Yes, I still do.
And you can only get those two for specials in person at the Pantages box office on 2212.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Billy Elliot runs April 11th through May 13th at the Pantages Theater in Hollywood and is based on the motion picture, with music by Elton John, books and lyrics by Lee Hall, choreography by Peter Darling, and direction by Stephen Daldry. So for further information, just visit BroadwayLA.org or call 800-982-2787.
And for further information about any productions and or events mentioned in today's State of the Arts Live calendar, visit us at stateoftheartsla.com. We also suggest you drop in at performingartslive.com, where you can search for Southern California events in several different categories happening every day of the week. Speaking of happening, give this happening young lady
the intro she is due.
We've been so patient with us.
I love it.
Ladies and gentlemen, in addition to her multiple visits to the Great White Way that Paul mentioned earlier, our next guest is Nellie in the national tour of Floyd Collins, which garnered her Jeff and Barrymore nominations and was nominated for a Best Supporting Actress Ovation Award for her portrayal of Lizzie in Having It All, which I loved.
Oh, I loved it,
as you
too.
Well know. She received yet another Ovation Award nomination for Best Actress in The Marvelous Wonderettes. Also, I love that.
That was ensemble. That was all of us together. And that wasn't just me. But
it was for me.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
Where she was a member of the original L.A. company. She's currently preparing to take the stage in the classic Sound of Music. Please welcome Kim Huber.
Hello.
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 It's so nice to meet you. Michael
nice
has met
here.
You before,
yes.
But I had not met you till just today out in the lobby, and you are just a charmer. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Oh, thank you so much.
And you have to be just elated at the idea of, it's Maria It's the role.
I've gotten to play her several times, and it's just my favorite show to do. And people go, "Oh, Sound of Music." No, I love Sound of Music. I just love every bit of it.
And you said this
is what's not to love about it, really.
And you said this is like a lush, full out, you know, lush. I mean,
it's so exciting with 3D theatricals right now that they're a new theater company in LA in this economy that's starting to do everything full out. 9 professional contracts in the company, and as well as, you know, an astounding non-union company, and 18 pieces in the orchestra, beautiful costumes and sets restored. It's going to be glorious.
Oh, wow.
How exciting is that?
Yeah.
And we were talking also before the show about the three young dynamos behind 3D theatricals, which are, they're young people, wouldn't you say? I mean, they're in their 30s, early 30s?
I think so. I mean, I've really only gotten to work with TJ, who's our director, and he is doing so many things just right. I'm so impressed with him as a person and as a director, and he has such a vision, and he's just so smart. It's just so, you know, he's starting to make me feel old, but it's really inspiring to see new people coming up who know what they're doing.
Well, and that's
you know
that's,
what I mean. It seems awful.
No. It's
Well, here in Orange County, our the arts was pretty limited actually to the Orange County. Performing Arts Center was taking in a lot. Well, they take in all the national tours and so forth, and the South Coast Repertory, which does all of their wonderful productions that they do, and then the Fullerton Civic Light Opera, which Kim is well aware of, and we talked about, was there for years and years and years and years. And unfortunately, for whatever the reason is, their audiences started to dissipate with the economy, and they were in a very tough spot. And 3D theatricals came in and kind of saved them and worked with them to take over for them and still be involved with them to some degree and their customers and treat them very graciously and make the transition, you know, for their audiences to 3D theatricals seamless.
Well, and they should just be applauded for that, because one of the things, and I know that you've done a number of shows out here, and Michael has, and I have, and L.A. is a completely different climate for live theater. It, getting people out of their homes, I mean, with the amount of time that people spend, I mean, Roger talked about the amount of time you spend in your car, the last thing in the world you want to do on a Friday afternoon after battling traffic all day is to get back in that car and go see some theater. And that's what we're up against out here. So the fact that these people are really taking the time and energy to put forth such a great production of a classic, too. Well, truly a classic. And
What they always say, isn't this, correct me if I'm wrong, they always say, do the Sound of Music and you will have full houses for the entire
run. Fingers crossed. Yes. It'll be wonderful.
I mean, I've directed it myself, and it's a joy to do from that side of the stage, you know, from as a director to, you know, watching someone so talented as this woman, Paul. She is an amazing vocalist and a wonderful actress on top of it. But I can't wait to see you in this role.
It's just really my favorite, and it's just an amazing cast of people around.
You've done it before?
Several times.
Where have you done it
before? I did it at the Fifth Avenue Theater up in Seattle, opposite Terrence Mann, which was really fun, and then out in Tuts in Texas a couple years ago, which was really wonderful too, and then some regional smaller community theater ones when I was younger.
I'm always curious about that when you do something, and do you find that is it like putting on comfortable shoes, or is there just still the same sort of performance angst of because everything's new, you know, new people, new venue?
No, you know, with this show, not necessarily. I mean, it's different only because I think of all roles I've ever played, this is the one that's closest to me playing myself. So,
well, because you're a nun.
Well, yes, I am. And so, I mean, just in many, many ways. And
her
so
children don't know that.
Right.
And so I'm like, when we're approaching the show right now with TJ, he's like, I know you've done before, and if you want to try, can you try something different? And I said, I'm great doing something different. My instincts are always going to kind of be similar, you know, pretty much the same, just because it's kind of being myself in the part. Right. But in a different role, it would be more difficult. But we're really kind of on the same page as it is, TJ and I, so we're having a great time.
And the kids, the children that are in your production?
Oh, my gosh. This is not your average Von Trapp children. These kids are amazing, and they're all pros. One of our girls is down to the final five for the new Annie revival, as in the role of Annie.
Wow.
One of the girls, her name is Cozy. She was. Do you know that Dolphin Tale movie? She was the she was the lead girl in that film this year. There's also one of the boys was in Mary Poppins on Broadway, and I mean they're all extraordinary singers, actors, and real pros on stage and off.
Wow.
Yeah.
How exciting is
mm-hmm.
that? And also, you mentioned your daughter earlier. That's Paige.
Yes.
And she's 11.
Yes.
And how old is Adam?
He is 2.5.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, how nice for you to be doing a show that both of your kids could come to see, but it may be a little advanced
for Adam. He's not
going to
make it.
He's not going to make it. But that's got to be nice for you to be able to do something. Is there a better family musical?
I
was going to say, when you say is there a better family musical, I wouldn't say it's better, but I would say it's up on the same par as being family and fantastic, and you did it on Broadway. You played Belle.
Oh, I did.
In Beauty and the Beast.
It was an amazing opportunity. I went to school at UC Irvine, and there was a class that they took us out to New York for the month of May to like the satellite program they have there, and they had a casting director session with Jay Bender,
right.
And from that class I got sent to be cast in the original company of Beauty and the Beast.
Wow.
And I was a broom.
You were a broom.
I was a broom on Broadway. And
They said I was a fool to dream.
And I understudied Susan Egan in the original company went on to take over after that.
How long were you with the show?
I did the show for a year covering, and then I went and did Sunset Boulevard for a year, and then went out on tour as Belle.
So when you went on the national tour, the first national tour, you were the first Belle.
I created Belle on that.
Oh,
and
wow.
And then came back and did the show in New York later on.
Oh, that's awesome.
So from broom to Belle.
Indeed, and you know, I was one of the first understudies to go on, and poor Susan, she dislocated her elbow in the middle of a performance. They had all of the... with the wolves scene, you know, they had it's all evolved throughout the years. At that point, it was wolves on sticks, and it's dancer wolves, but this was dancers with wolves, and they kind of covered up with fog, and it condensated all over the floor, and she ran out in the top of the second act and slipped and broke her arm, and I went on with no rehearsal. I was 21 years old and was thrown into the show, and it was. It was, you know, it was kind of amazing. I was downstairs in my broom costume eating cake, and the entire cast just looked at me like, "What are you gonna do?" And I thought, "Wow, this is really great, or this could be really bad."
Yeah.
And it ended up being just truly one of the most exciting moments in my life. So.
Oh my gosh! So not even a put in.
No. Just... I had a day with the stage manager where I kind of walked around. I didn't know how to use any of the props, like, you know, the magic mirror, show me the beast. I just turned up stage, you know, I didn't know how to turn it on. I didn't know what to do, you know, and, you know, the costumes were literally, they put a wig on my head and literally were cutting the lace off, you know, to set it on my head and throwing me into the costumes I'd never done. And it's kind of one of those things you look back on and go, wow, that happened to me. I forgot, you know, so.
I always find that I didn't have... the fear now that, you know, I have more fear now as an older person than when I think of the things that I did
agree.
When I was 21 or 22. It's just like, you don't know what can go wrong.
You're invincible.
You're invincible.
Oh, yeah.
You're 6'10 and bulletproof. Nothing can harm you.
Absolutely.
You know?
It's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. You know? But now I think about it now, and it's just sort of like, oh, I'm so glad that I don't have... Yeah, I think it's because, you know, anxiety is just something
we accumulate. Or the bad things have happened, just even that much, where you can see what could happen. And I don't remember anything about that performance because the whole show, I kept thinking, what's next? I didn't have a minute.
Right.
I didn't have a minute to think about what was coming. So every bit was what's next. I was never in the moment.
So how long was she out? I mean, if she dislocated her elbow, that's a significant injury.
If you watch the Tonys, she was out about a week and a half. And if you watch the Tonys, her arm's in a sling. She was out that it was all the Tony week, which was rough for Susan too, because a lot of the people who were coming to see her and maybe vote for her weren't in the audience that week.
Okay.
But I got to do the show that week. It was about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks. But if you see the Tonys, we taped all the Be Our Guest stuff beforehand. So you see her dancing up a storm. And then when you come to the live thing, you see her with her arm in a sling
or
holding her arm very gingerly.
Oh, man, that's just, you know, it's reminiscent of the, we talked about Ronnie Orbach earlier.
Right.
And that story, that horrible story of what happened to Ron. Ron played in the original production of The Producers. He played Franz Liebkin, the playwright. And a week and a half before they opened on Broadway, dislocated his knee.
That's right.
And was not able to do the role, and then his understudy came
Brad
in
Oscar, right?
And
yeah.
got a Tony for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's
just heartbreaking.
The Tony that, yeah, that he's still kind of...
Yeah, it's his Tony.
Yeah, his Tony.
It's his
Whoa.
Tony.
Yeah. Can you imagine that?
No, no. I don't want to.
Well, yeah, no, it's just, I just feel so bad.
Well, you know, Kim, you played pretty, I mean, with your talent, of course, it's totally understandable, but not everybody would necessarily have that opportunity, but you played some of the great... female roles.
Yeah,
you
looking at this.
I'm so fortunate. It's kind of funny as I go through, I'm going like, as I'm getting older, I'm like, I gotta hurry up. I gotta do that one.
Well, Eliza, My Fair Lady, you can't go wrong with that, right? Scarlet Pimpernel, Marguerite. Mm-hmm. How great is that show and that role for you as well? Into the Woods, Cinderella, Aspects of Love, Rose. What else?
Pippin. Catherine and Pippin.
That's fun.
I would love to see. And who was it that did a recent production of Pippin? Was it Death West?
East West.
East West.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you see their production?
No, I know, but I'd heard
it was
about
fantastic.
That.
Fantastic. Very
But it was like anime type of,
And hip hop.
I love the music in that show.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit, now it's a tad bit dated. It's a little 70s Godspelly, but it's such a great show. And the songs are just, I mean, Corner of the Sky. And all the stuff that the Ben Vereen,
And if you've never seen Anna May in East West.
I don't even know Anna May. Who is she?
Yeah, she's fabulous. No, it was a very interesting mix of, that attitude. And I think I think they took pieces of that production with permission from East West Players and put it into the production that went into The Taper, which eventually went into New York.
Really?
Because they were so blown away by... their take on.
Well, you just talk about making something new again.
Yeah,
you know, just
exactly.
taking something like that, and because even though it's my opinion that the music is a little dated, but if it's not necessarily.
It's kind of past now. It's not so much dated as it's kind of old school.
Yeah, it's like retro.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's retro.
You know, something new. You just made me think of something that Kim did that was a world premiere musical. About a year and a half ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was called Having It All at the NoHo Arts Center, in that beautiful space there at the NoHo Arts Center. And tell our listener audience a little bit about it, because the storyline was very interesting about...
Well, it's, when you start talking about the show, you kind of think, you kind of would understand, you think where it's going to go. It's about five women of different types of...
In the airport.
Yeah, in the airport. And we're in the airport.
Yes.
And we're all the different, stereotypes, kind of. I'm like, it was the Christian conservative. There's the, there's the businesswoman. There's the housewife. There's the ditzy blonde. And then there's the more Jewish kind of girl can't get a date, And it's kind of... You would think it's a, you think, oh, I know where that's going. And it ends up being a completely different journey. And it was so important for kind of all of us, the women in the show, because it was more about the choices you've made in your life and owning them and being in it. And for each and every one of us in the show, it was really a great moving process. Can you explain what did you get from it?
Well, I mean, I got what she's talking about. These people come together. They all have different agendas. They're all getting on these planes. They're all stuck in this airport suddenly that no one
Five
has
women?
Planned this. Yes,
Five
exactly.
Women. Okay.
At this one gate.
Right.
And the trip was what, to Los Angeles?
We're all going to, yeah. We're all
right.
Going, and some people are going, some aren't.
Right. Exactly.
And there's a blackout. So we're all stuck together and we can't really go anywhere. And we have to kind of communicate with each other and have to, even if we're not getting along, we all kind of opened up different stories. We kind of peel the skin off the onion of all of us of finding out who we really are and how much we have in common. But the main thing is kind of that we're all kind of women in this together and that, our choices kind of being okay with who we are.
Well, and that's it, and owning it, as you said, mm-hmm. everybody owning that. And that was really the nice part about it, because you really got, they kind of really had to get very torn down by other people. I mean, you all kind of called each other on things that were going on in your life. And, you said a Christian and, the other women kind of.
Yeah, or you think I'm a conservative, you know, and you find out, because I'm struggling having children, and you find out some things about me and my story throughout. And what's also interesting about the show is you would think it'd be this major man bashing thing. And, and we actually, that's beside the point. It's, we are, all our men in our lives were wonderful. It was a matter of owning our own lives and our own responsibility to them and where we were. And every night we were in just tears, you know, and we all kind of came out of it stronger and really wonderful friends. And it was just, the whole thing was just kind of, it was extraordinary, everything about it.
And it's so funny that you say that about that perception of it, because I like to think I'm a fairly open-minded person about this. But it wasn't until you came in and talked about it. Mm-hmm. Because they said, having it all, five women, all together at the airport. I thought, and forgive me for this, but my initial thought is bitch fest.
Yeah.
But not bitch like a derogatory term for women. I mean, like bitch like complain fest.
Yes, right.
You know, but it wasn't that at all. And it just, you know, it's really a shame that we go up against those stigmas, that sexist stigmas that people immediately.
And, but we did really well. And we saw.
Yeah,
great. And it was written, the music and lyrics are written by two men.
Really?
And inspired by a friendship with a woman, and who ended up writing a lot of the book as well. But it was, you know, it came down to two men writing the lyrics and music.
Well, and you also had a fabulous director, Richard Israel. Oh.
Who we had on the show.
Who was on the show.
Lovely
who
man.
Who was at my nightclub over the weekend, judging LA's Next Great Stage Star. And David Elzer, one of the great producers in Los Angeles. What's it, and I know the show extended here, but do you have any, is it?
I know that they're still looking at moving it somewhere else or finding out. I'm not sure what it is. We always look at each other and go, when are we doing it again? You know, everything about it. We just, and also just the four greatest women actresses to play opposite and people to be backstage with. They were just, it was just everything about it was wonderful.
Kim, have you ever, just out of curiosity, being the singer that you are, have you ever done like a cabaret act or anything like along those lines?
You know,
did that
I've done, like,
appeal to you?
It does. I've done shows that I've gotten to go and, you know, get paid some money to go put together a bunch of standards and things like that. I'd like to. I'm trying to figure out what it is I want to say. You know what I mean? Am I going to do something on the commercial end, or if I'm still just kind of waiting to not have it not be a vanity thing. Not that people who do that, I just feel like right now I don't know what it is
what
I
your
have
story
to offer.
Is.
Yeah.
You need the narrative.
And so I just kind of, I guess that's what's going on. I will do it for money, but but you know, as far as my own thing, I think I have a feeling that's going to come in time, especially I've been wanting to do an album or something, but I just haven't found what it is I want to do.
I only ask you because you have that sort of personality that just in a, you know, obviously you've done the big Broadway blockbusters and that, but I think that you would really shine in that sort of climate because you just, you know, you have a real sort of, you know, energy about you that would work a small.
Thanks. I'd like to. It's sometimes it might take, you know, us actors, we're so used to people telling us what to do. I just have that person with the idea or a friend, director friend, who we come together and collaborate. I think I'm searching for something like that.
Well, it's a very personal.
Right.
It's a very personal situation up there. It's very raw. You know, you're in one with the audience in that format. And it is, I mean, you know, David Engel, Tammy Tappan Damiano, some of these lovely friends of ours who have played my club and have never done an act like that before, they say, oh, my God, this is like the most scary thing I've ever done.
Yeah,
right.
It is.
You know?
I'll tell you, it is.
You're all pros. And I'm thinking, what, really? And I used to think that. But then I really understood everything with these kinds of performers because it is so personal.
Mm-hmm.
That. But you said an interesting thing about it possibly being more on the commercial side because somebody like Jason Graw, who has been in this studio with us before, he did do that. You know, he went in that direction and did the music of Jerry Herman in a show called Perfect Harmony, as you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And he's now done it multiple times throughout the country and is you know, a smash hit every place he goes with it in New York and throughout other parts
of the
country.
He's so seasoned, too, though, where he's learned what works well for him, you know, in a commercial or another
kind of
version.
And, well, you know, he started it. That show was born at Sterling's Upstairs at Vitello's, and then he took it over to the Colony Theater after
that.
And it was a whole different experience at the Colony.
Right.
Different experience. Even he said, wow. He said it was to be up close at the club and doing it was like a whole thing. And then there's some sort of proper thing at the theater that happens when you do that kind of an act.
Oh, but he's so funny.
He is.
Gosh.
He is an amazing guy.
Very, very
as are you, an amazing actress. And we should tell them all about one more time about how to go and see the Sour. I don't think we said it at all.
Actually. Oh, no, we did not.
Please come see us.
Absolutely.
Do you have the information there, Michael?
I am going to pull it up here real quick. Oh, I don't know if I can somewhere. Do it quicker than you.
I don't know. Whoever finds it first. We know that it is at the...
It's at the Plummer Auditorium in Fullerton, ladies and gentlemen, which is one of the great theaters in Los Angeles. It's 3D Theatricals, and that is 3dtheatricals.com. You can go on their website and find out how to purchase tickets, and it runs, Kim, through...
February 26th.
February 26th, that's right. And it opens on February 10th.
Yes.
And go see The Incredible Sound of Music. And, you know, if there's something that's going to make me feel good, that's a show that I can always count on, right? I've seen it with so many different people, but every time I've enjoyed it, regardless.
And the other thing we will do, too, to give it its due, we will include it in next week's arts calendar. So we'll put that in there to give even more specific information about
exactly.
it. But what a pleasure.
Thank
what a pleasure to have
so
you on
much.
The show. I hope
thank
you had
nice
as good a time.
Here. Oh, gosh. Thank you. This is so wonderful that you are bringing such a light to all the theater out here. It's so important.
You know, we just felt, and it was actually the whole show was Michael's idea, and he saw the void. There just wasn't enough support for the arts out here. And
especially on radio.
On the radio. And you were saying that, I mean, Julio's show was the only one.
Julio's is one of the few.
Yeah. Yeah.
Arts in Review over KPFK.
Yeah. So we just, and we're delighted that we've chosen to do this and have some folks following us.
Well,
we're very grateful
when
for
we have a lovely guest like Kim and Roger, it makes it all worthwhile, you know? So thank you, Kim.
Thank you so much.
All right. Paul,
and
thank
Michael,
you.
Look forward to chatting with you next week, as always.
All right, sir. Thank you.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.